We're exploring Wisconsin's lakes and free fishing opportunities on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer Kent. This first weekend in June is a really fabulous time to be outside. The free fishing weekend allows you to fish without a license at any of the lakes in our state. And then there are these fish clinics and lots of gear to borrow at the free events organized by the DNR. Have you ever taken part in Wisconsin's free fishing weekend, or are you planning to get out there tomorrow? Do you think it's important to introduce fishing to younger generations? What stories do you have about growing up fishing in Wisconsin, and who took you? What was that memory like to you? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email your story to ideas@wpr.org. Steve Carpenter is Director Emeritus of the Center for Limnology at the UW-Madison. He's been researching recreational fisheries for about 40 years now. Steve, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
All right, so who got you hooked? Who introduced you to fishing?
Well, many people in my family fished, my grandfathers and my father, and I don't remember, a single event that got me fishing, but it was very common for us to go fishing, even when I was very small boy, 5 or 6 years old.
So when did you know that you loved it and this would be a passion of yours?
Oh, probably when I was 12 or so, I got interested in tying flies and started to trout fish, and by then I think I really knew I was hooked.
So what led you to studying freshwater systems and ecology? What's so interesting there?
Well, I have always enjoyed being out in the natural world. My grandfather had a farm. I loved being there. I helped with chores, but I just wandered and just learned by looking. And in college, I had the opportunity to go to Glacier National Park. I got hired in Glacier National Park by a fire survey project, and we were surveying forests and fuel. And with a friend of mine, we walked every day, backpacked every day, 5 days a week, recording data and occasionally dodging a grizzly bear or huddling in the tent during rainstorms. And I realized, wow, I can get paid for this. What a great job.
Well, let's talk about our lakes here in Wisconsin. And I first want to clear the air. Is Lake Mendota really the most studied lake in the United States?
Well, it's even up with Lake Geneva in Switzerland. The science of limnology began at essentially the same time, within a year or so, on both lakes. So, you know, we've just got to kind of duke it out with the Swiss. Figure out who's really got the best studied lake.
Lake Geneva, though, is very gorgeous from the pictures I've seen.
Oh, it is. It's a beautiful site, and of course, Lake Mendota can be beautiful as well.
So, what is the role of recreational fisheries in our state?
Well, globally, worldwide, in developed countries, one person in 10 fishes for recreation. And I don't have a number for Wisconsin, but I suspect it's even higher for Wisconsin. And so that means that it's a very important way for people to contact nature, interact with the natural world. We're a nation of people that increasingly spends our lives behind screens, looking at our cell phones or looking at our computers or looking at TV. And we often don't have enough actual contact with the natural world. And fishing is one way of getting it. Of course, there are lots of other things you can take a walk in the woods, go bird watching, have a backyard garden. Fishing is a popular way for just interacting with nature.
We're exploring our Wisconsin lakes as we gear up for free fishing weekend. And I remember as a kid walking to Lake Harriet in Minneapolis and casting a line with my dad at the dock. And I tried once putting an Oreo cookie on my hook and it didn't work out, but we caught sunnies. Steve Carpenter is Director Emeritus of the Center for Limnology at the UW-Madison. He's been researching recreational fisheries a long time now. You can join in. What's your story about fishing as a youngster? Who did you go out with and what did they teach you about fishing and about life? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Steve, how are we doing in managing and maintaining our lakes?
Well, I would say Wisconsin's lakes and streams are mostly in great shape for fishing. And we have a long history of science-based management here in Wisconsin by Wisconsin DNR's professional managers. And they've done a good job. So I think you will, especially at this time of year, I think you will find the waters in good condition.
How are we doing managing climate change?
Well, we're not managing climate change. We're just letting it happen. And climate change is related to some of the major problems that we have with our lakes. The toxic algae blooms that will start up in Wisconsin in July and August, and they're very common. Wisconsin has become a poster child for satellite images of polluted lakes due to our toxic blooms in July and August. And that comes from farm runoff. It comes from poor management of manure, mostly. And it flows into the lakes because of big storms. And we're getting more storms and bigger rainstorms due to climate change. So that is one way that that climate change is affecting the lakes. Climate change is also affecting our cool water fisheries. In the past decade or so, there have been serious declines of walleye populations in northern Wisconsin. And walleye is the iconic fish of Wisconsin fisheries, and a number of lakes have lost their walleye stocks. And as a result of a research project that several of us were involved in, I'm not the only scientist by any means, and several institutions were involved. We have found that climate change is the underlying cause there, because the climate change decreases habitat for walleye, it increases the amount of water available for them to live, and then we combine that with loss of habitat along the shoreline by shoreline landowners clearing out the tangles of, you know, what looks like a tangle of brush and a fallen tree to you looks like heaven if you're a baby walleye. And by cleaning up the shorelines, we have removed a lot of habitat. And walleye cannot take the fishing pressure that they could take in the past. The populations don't have as high a growth rate, and we just can't fish them as hard. And that's very frustrating for many people, because walleye is a popular table fish.
Yeah.
And, by some political miracle of human action, we did fix the climate change problem, maybe we would get walleye back in the future.
Let's take a call now. Let's go to Paula joining us from Oshkosh. Hi, Paula.
Good morning. Thanks so much for taking my call. I have listening and just wrapped with this program and your guest. It's wonderful. I'm from northern Wisconsin and live now in Oshkosh. And my wonderful father, who's no longer with us on this earth, introduced me to fishing. And I have two fishing poles and a tackle box on the back of my car as we speak. But my mother tells me a story that I was ice fishing with my father, and she claims I was 3 years old, and I took off my gloves, and they said, Paula, put your gloves back on, honey. It's too cold. And I said, I can't get a good grip on the line.
You were hardcore even as a toddler, Paula.
You got that right.
Where do you fish now, may I ask?
So now I just kind of, believe it or not, on my way to and from work, I'll just kind of stop. In Oshkosh, we have the Fox River. We have Lake Winnebago. I get back home to Anigo a lot, and there's the Wolf River. There's all sorts of wonderful trout streams and little lakes all over the place. It's just love it, love it, love it. Almost like baseball season, the first crack of the baseball.
Oh, that's a fabulous. Steve, what do you hear there?
Well, I hear somebody who loves fishing, and I know many people like Paula, and it's a very important part of recreation and life in Wisconsin.
We're exploring Wisconsin's lakes and the opportunity to try out fishing this weekend, with the state offering free admission to state parks and trails and no fishing license necessary these first 2 days of June. Fishing equipment is available for loan at more than 50 state parks as well. And we're exploring our inland lakes with Steve Carpenter as our guide. He is Director Emeritus of the Center for Limnology at the UW-Madison. Are you someone who's been fishing for decades? Maybe like Paula, you started in those really early years, age 3. How did you learn? What was it about the sport that you love? Do you try to introduce fishing to others? And did it lead you perhaps to work with water or fish? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. We'll get back to Wisconsin Weekend in just a moment here on the Ideas Network. It's Wisconsin Weekend, and we're headed out to the lake with a pole, some tackle. It's free fishing weekend, and we're talking about the places that you love to cast a line. The DNR is giving nature lovers a free pass this weekend. Admission to all parks is waived for 2 days. That means you can fish and hike and bike and use all trails at no cost. Are you an angler? Do you fish recreationally, maybe commercially? What do you love to catch? What bait do you use, and where do you go? Have you fished for decades? Who taught you? Who passed on this passion? Share your story at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Steve Carpenter stays with us, and he is Director Emeritus of the Center for Limnology at UW-Madison. Let's go back to the phones now with Mark joining us from Minocqua. Hi, Mark. What's your question?
Yes, my question is...
Try that again. We're having a hard time hearing you.
Okay, hello?
Yep, we got you now.
Okay, I was born and raised in Minocqua, and I'm 60 now and fish here almost, constantly every year. I've never missed a year, and I've moved to Lake Winnebago in the Nina area, and I fish there regularly as well. My question is for the Minocqua system. Your guest had mentioned something earlier about the walleye here and the lakes up north, and Minocqua's currently at a 5-year moratorium where no walleyes could be harvested at all. There was some discrepancy on, I was just trying to get to what his thoughts were on Minocqua Lake, and is that moratorium something that they might...
I think we have the gist of what you're saying there, Mark. Steve, what do we know about that moratorium on Minocqua?
Well, it was a very bold and forward-looking move by the citizens of the Minocqua area to try this experiment in reduced harvest to allow their walleyes to recover. And it is being followed by Department of Natural Resources, I am told, and And I think the results are going to be very interesting. I am not personally involved in that experiment, but I read about it in the news, read about it in the Lakeland Times and other news sources, and I was very interested to see that people were concerned enough and cared enough to try that experiment, and I think the whole state is going to benefit from knowing the results when they come out.
Well, Steve, there are lots of lakes to fish out there. So what are some of the most popular places to go? Where do you like to fish?
Well, you know, you're asking me to reveal secrets. I know in the media, you people in the media have the phrase, in an area lake. That's where I caught that nice fish, was in an area lake.
Yeah, you're on to our tricks. All right.
But I usually fish when I do fish. I should preface this by saying that now that I am a researcher on recreational fishing, oddly, I don't fish that much, but because I'm busy studying fishing instead of fishing. But I tend to fish up in the Trout Lake area where the university has a field station, and I tend to fish in the in southwest Wisconsin where my wife and I have a cabin.
So how can you help to get more people into fishing, into this sport, and protect fisheries at the same time?
Well, that's a great question. And an interesting fact is that a recent poll of people who like to fish found out that the major reason people give for fishing is to enjoy nature with family members and friends. It's not to catch fish. It's they like to have the possibility of catching fish. because when you catch one, it's exciting. It's like you wouldn't go to the casino unless there was a chance you could win. But what they really enjoy is the chance to be in a beautiful place with friends and family members. And catching fish is secondary. So I think that gives some hope that people would be willing to moderate their harvest.
Well, Steve, we have to end it there. Thank you so much for the visit. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, sure. Thank you.
Steve Carpenter is Director Emeritus of the Center for Limnology at the UW-Madison. We have all the links to Free Fishing Weekend and where you can find the DNR events and fishing regulations. Go to WPR.org and click on the morning show page. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a story about one of the most famous musicians in the world who will be touring in Wisconsin next week.
Paul McCartney first came to Wisconsin in September 1964 when the Beatles played their only show in the state. Writer Dean Robbins tells us about the madness that greeted them on their first American tour. This story first aired in 2013, just after McCartney played Miller Park.
I'm one of those crazy Beatle fans who want to know every single thing about the band. Luckily, every single thing has been documented, and it seems like there's always more to learn. Lately, I've been obsessing on the Fab Four's appearance in Milwaukee on September 4th, 1964. It was their only trip to Wisconsin, and it was a memorable one. So memorable that people are blogging about it almost 50 years later. The madness started the minute the Beatles' plane landed in Mitchell Field. Hundreds of fans showed up to swoon at the sight of them.
I just like, oh, I like George.
But the 80 police officers on hand wanted nothing of the sort, so they arranged for the plane to land far away from the crowd.
They are on their way to their hotel at this time.
Then they shuttled the Beatles through a back exit where no one could see them. The band complained to no avail. Later, at a press conference, Paul McCartney accused the police of pulling a dirty trick.
We have been told that the decision to land was made by your manager in the air.
There was no need to take us out the back way. Just at least drive past the fans, you know, in a car. And again, they told us no. And he's a dirty, lying policeman who told you that.
The Beatles didn't treat the local press any more respectfully than they did the local police. A reporter asked them what they planned to do when their bubble burst. Guitarist George Harrison answered.
Call your coffee.
Tickets for the show at Milwaukee Arena topped out at $5.50. Red Cross workers, armed with ammonia inhalants, stationed themselves around the arena to treat fainting girls. As for the performance, it was drowned out by the screaming of 12,000 fans. The screams were so relentless that no one could tell All My Loving from Can't Buy Me Love. Nevertheless, the Beatles rocked, and they playfully engaged the crowd between songs. Everybody there remembers having a good time. Before the band left town, McCartney took a minute to call a local fan in the hospital. He had heard she didn't get a chance to see the show. The band may have had no use for Wisconsin's disapproving elders, but they loved the kids who responded so passionately to their music. I should tell you why I've been obsessing on the Beatles' visit to Milwaukee. It's because I got to see a Beatle there myself this past July. Paul McCartney performed at a sold-out Miller Park, with ticket prices well over $5.50. In many ways, though, the performance made me think of 1964. Paul still playfully engaged the crowd. And at age 71, he still rocked with a vengeance. When he launched into All My Loving, a number he'd also sung with the Beatles in Milwaukee, I couldn't help myself. I screamed.
Dean Robbins is a journalist and author based in Madison. This story first aired in 2013 after Paul McCartney played Miller Park. This month, he'll be playing in Madison and in Green Bay. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And Wisconsin Life is part of our weekly edition of Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're with us on the Ideas Network.